recording. All right. So, I believe it was just last week during Torah for Today on Shabbat last week that someone said, never ask God for patience or else he'll give it to you. Meaning that he'd cause situations to rise up where we need to have patience. You know, it's a very common joke about patience, you know. Don't ask for it because Adonai is going to really squeeze you to the point where you cry out for patience and you'll learn it. Well, I don't know whether that's why Adonai dropped this subject into my spirit today to speak about it or something else, but we're going to speak about patience today. Patience is something that I believe I can say that most only ask for it and pray for it in the time that they need it the most. It's not something that they pray for before they need it. They wait until they need the patience to ask for it. And that kind of makes it tougher to get. I think I'm a little hot. And that kind of makes it tougher to get. You know, the best time to pray for something is before you need it, right? Think about it as in your bank account. You know, the best time to put into savings is not when you're in the need for savings. It's before you need it, when you still have something to put into savings. You know, that's when we need to do it. It's sort of like Ephesians 6. It says, put on the full armor of God. Well, when should you be putting on the full armor of God? Not while you're in the middle of a battle. You need to be armored up before that. Because I can tell you from experience, if you're fighting with one hand, it's really hard to get dressed with the other. So we need to be dressed before that. We need to ask for these kinds of things. Before, we need the full armor of God because there's never a time that we don't need it. And we need to ask for patience beforehand because, quite frankly, there's never really a time that we don't need that as well. Now, there was a journalist and novelist in the mid-1900s named Orrin Arnold. And he wrote what's called the Modern American's Prayer. And he said the prayer was, dear God, I pray for patience, and I want it right now. It's funny because it's true. Don't most ask for patience right at the time that they need it? They don't wait. You know, they don't ask for it beforehand. They ask for it now, I want it now, which is kind of impatient on them, their part. So let's see if we can put into words what patience is. Now, the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible says that it's this, quote, ability to take a great deal of punishment from evil people or circumstances without losing one's temper, without becoming irritated or angry, or without taking vengeance. It includes the capacity to bear pain or trials without complaint, the ability to forbear under severe provocation, and the self-control which keeps one from acting rashly, even though suffering opposition or adversity, unquote. Now, I think that's really kind of a bit hopeful on their part, because I'd say we need patience from all peoples in all circumstances, both evil and benign. And that's not because all people irritate me. I'm not saying that. But because we need patience, not because of the people around us or the circumstances we're in. We need patience because of ourselves. That's why we need patience. We need patience because of how we react, not because of the things that are causing us to react. We cannot control other things. But we can control ourselves, or at least we should be able to control ourselves, and that's what patience does. Patience allows us to control us instead of the circumstances controlling us. So really, what patience is the slowing down of our emotions, which are reacting to the things around us. We think of patience as the slowing down of the emotion anger, because most of the time when we become impatient, we become angry, right? However, it also can be the slowing down of the emotion of disappointment, which could cause us to turn our back on other people who disappoint us. Think about it. If someone disappoints us enough, our reaction gets to be, well, you know what? I've had enough of that. Be gone, person. That's impatience. That's what impatience sounds like for against another person. The definition of patience could be the ability of waiting on a person or situation without becoming hasty in decision-making or angered. That hastiness or the anger caused by impatience has caused many to sin and to make mistakes because they've lost the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry and upset. Look what we're told in Proverbs 19. Let me grab my little pointer here. Here we go. Proverbs 19. Prudence makes one slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook an offense. Patience is called a glory for the one who has it. In fact, it's a gift of the Spirit. We see this in Rav Shaul's writing, the Apostle Paul's writing, in Galatians. Galatians 5:22, starting there. But the fruit of the Ruach is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. But gentleness and self-control, against these there is no law. Now those who belong to Messiah have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Ruach, let us also walk by the Ruach. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Patience is the gift of the Spirit, but it also is a deliberate decision that we have to make. We make that decision when we feel the anger or impatience building up within us. We have to make the decision to be patient and to not allow the situation to cause us to react the way we're feeling. Proverbs 12 tells us this: a fool shows his irritation immediately, but a prudent person overlooks an insult. Didn't forward. Yeah, I think you're going to have to take it for whatever reason here. It's not working. Okay. Proverbs 12:16. A fool shows his irritation immediately, but a prudent person overlooks an insult. For the person without patience, irritation comes immediately, allowing anger or disappointment to arise within, causing poor decisions to be made. Nehemiah tells us of the time that the Israelites became impatient with Adonai and the situation that they were in. I have control again. I have control of the bridge. Ah, there we go. Thank you. Nehemiah tells us their impatience, the Israelites' impatience, caused them to stop trusting Adonai. Starting in verse 15 of Nehemiah 9, you gave them bread from heaven for their hunger and brought them water from the rock for their thirst. You told them to go in to possess the land that you had sworn to give them. But they, our ancestors, became arrogant. They stiffened their neck and did not obey your mitzvot. They refused to obey and did not remember your wonders that you did among them. Instead, they became stiff-necked and in their rebellion appointed a leader in order to return to their bondage. But you are a God of forgiveness, merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. Therefore, you did not abandon them, even when they made a cast image of a calf for themselves and said, this is your God who brought you up from Egypt, or when they committed great blasphemies. They became arrogant, stiff-necked, not wanting to wait or to do the work that it would take to overcome and to take the land that Adonai wanted them to have. They made bad decisions in wanting to return to Egypt and also making the golden calf. It was all because they were impatient. But who's not impatient? Adonai. Even when the people did things that could hurt or disappoint Adonai, he did not abandon them, we're told. This is the great love that he had for them and for us now. For it is also the love that we should have towards not just Adonai, but towards everybody around us. When Rav Shaul wrote to Kolossi, look at how he said we should pray for them, or how he said he prayed for them. For this reason also, ever since we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We kept asking God that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God. We pray that you may be strengthened with all the power that comes from his glorious might, for you to have all kinds of patience and steadfastness. He wanted them to have knowledge of God's will by wisdom and spiritual understanding, which would make them worthy to do Adonai's work. Then he prayed for strength by the power that comes from Adonai, so that they would have patience and steadfastness. He knew that through that patience and steadfastness, they could do the will of Adonai. And it's the same for us today. We also need the strength of the Ruach to do his will, which will require us to be patient and steadfast. Even as we go forth with patience and steadfastness, that doesn't mean that we're to put up with evil. We're reminded of this in Revelation when speaking about the congregation of Ephesus. It says this from Revelation 2:2. I know all about your deeds and your toil and your patient endurance, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who call themselves emissaries and are not, and you have found them to be liars. Adonai says that they worked hard and they had patience, but not bear the sin of others. Being patient with people does not mean that you allow them to continue in sin or accept their sin, especially when they're part of a congregation, your congregation. Being patient does not exclude or stop us from following all the other instructions of Adonai, but use patience while we do follow them. Is there anything wrong in the sound booth? A little loud. This is most definitely what we see in Adonai. Now, Edward Lee was a Reformed theologist in the 1600s, said that he understood the patience of God as an attribute, quote, whereby he bears the reproach of sinners and defers their punishments. Notice that he says that Adonai defers the punishment of sinners. Not that he ignores it. Adonai is patient with us, and we're all sinners. But if the sinner does not come to the acceptance of Yeshua by the blood as the price for their sin, then there is no more deference that can be done after the final breath is taken. Hyundai's patience is great. It lasts a lifetime, but only your lifetime, not his. Once your lifetime is over, there's no longer room for that patience. It's not that his love runs out. It's not that his patience runs out. But that final decision is finalized. And the consequences of that decision that you made during your life will then be seen and felt. His patience is in the work of reaching out to all. He will not come again until the full number of his people have been gathered in. Only then will that final day when Yeshua will come again, will the judge return. But as a judge, not as a savior at that point. He's a savior now. The funny thing is that Adonai's patience can cause us to be impatient. How long will we need to wait for Messiah's to return? There are many that'll say, I'm ready now. And you know what? I think that everybody who's going to accept the Messiah has already accepted. Let's get the show on the road. Let's do it. You know, and I've sadly seen in the elderly, especially, whose lives have become harder as they get older, coming closer to the end. They want to rush to the end. It's so hard, I don't want this life anymore. But Adonai says, be patient. We see an example of what can happen to those who are not patient with Adonai in the telling of Saul and his losing of the kingship. Samuel told the then king Saul to go to Gilgal and that he would be there in 7 days to offer a sacrifice for the battle that was going to come along. Then when Samuel didn't show up, Saul looked around, saw people starting to scatter, and became a bit impatient. And what does he do? He does the sacrifice instead of waiting patiently. So we read this. When Samuel confronted him, Samuel said, "What have you done?" Saul replied, "Because I saw that the people were scattering from me and that you had not come within the appointed days, that the Philistines were assembling at Mechmas, I thought now the Philistines are about to advance against me at Gilgal, but I have not yet entreated Adonai. So I forced myself to offer the burnt offering." I love that. He forced himself. Samuel said to Saul, "You have acted foolishly by not keeping the commandment of Adonai your God, which he commanded you. For now Adonai will have established your kingdom. For now Adonai would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingship will not last. Adonai has sought for himself a man after his own heart. So Adonai will appoint him a ruler over his people, because you have not guarded what Adonai commanded you." Saul became impatient because of the circumstances around him. And he said that he forced himself to do the offerings to Adonai that he knew he should not be doing. He knew better, but did it because of the fear and his impatience that were building up. This caused them to lose the kingdom, and the family line was doomed. So who did have patience in Scripture that we can look towards for an example? Job and Joseph. They waited through some very tough times in their lives, didn't they? I bet they both felt that under the circumstances, they were not going to, you know, those circumstances weren't going to change regardless of what they did or the prayers that they offered up. They felt pretty stuck. Job could not imagine that his children or his animals would be returned to him. Joseph could not imagine that he would be returned back to his family. How could they have patience and wait on Adonai when they could not see how that I would do anything for them. However, it was because of their patience that Adonai did for them. For Job, it was his patience that allowed Adonai to use him to prove to Satan that it was because of his love towards Adonai and his faithfulness towards Adonai that Job stayed faithful to Adonai. And for Joseph, his patience was to accept the temporary situation that he was in to make the best of it. Did he know that someday he would be second to Pharaoh? No. But he knew that Adonai is faithful, and one day in the end, he would be with him. Therefore, what he was going through was just temporary and to make the best of it, praising Adonai, which allowed him to make the best of some really bad situations that he found himself in. And this actually allowed him to rise up in those situations. But it also allowed him to be used by Adonai. So we also learn through him that we're to make the best of what we have as we're going through this life, so that Adonai can use us. Now, there are many places in Psalms and other writings in the Tanakh that we're encouraged to have faith and be patient. And we see examples of patience, yes, but it really hits home in the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant, where we get some real direct instruction that we should be patient and how to do it. One way is to look forward and not backwards. James gives us some encouragement and instructions about this. So be patient, brothers and sisters. This is James 5, 7 through 10. Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient for it until it receives the early and late rain? You also be patient. Strengthen your hearts, because the coming of the Lord is near. Do not grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door as an example of suffering and patience. Brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke to the in the name of the Lord. The farmer waits because he knows not only that it's coming, but there's nothing he can do to rush it along. An impatient farmer is one who either has outside worries that are causing him to want the crop sooner, or one who's not sure of the harvest. We gain some instruction on patience in that we are told to wait. Know that we have to wait, but also we're not to grumble against each other. Grumbling really is another way of saying judging, and there should only be one judge. James also points out that the prophets are an example of long suffering and being patient. For almost every one of the prophets, they didn't have prophecies of the time, or at least their most famous prophecies were not for that time. They were for a future time, a time that they wouldn't even see fulfilled. And if anything, the prophet can really only delay or cancel the warning of prophecy by causing the people to hear and accept so that they would change. Which leads us to the greatest display of patience in Scripture. The greatest display of God's patience appears as his response to sin. God is patient. And what does that mean? It's not only that God waits a long time for sinners, but that God shows long-suffering kindness to sinners. He waits not just for the passing of time, but to give people the opportunity to make the right choice, and then cleansing the sinner once they make the right choice to accept the blood and Messiah Yeshua. Romans 2, starting in verse 3. But you, O man, judging those practicing such things, yet doing the same, do you suppose that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you belittle the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you to repentance. He's slow to anger, which means that he's patient to give men time to repent of their sin, to accept the blood of Messiah Yeshua, who paid the price for that sin. He does not want to see any more fall to hell than is necessary. The slowness does not mean that he will turn his back on the sin, though. Peter wrote a warning that just because you don't see his wrath now doesn't mean that it's not real. 2 Peter 3, 7-9. But by the same word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly people. But don't forget this one thing, loved ones, that when the Lord, but with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some consider slowness. Rather, he is being patient towards you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Peter warns that Adonai had used the flood to cleanse the world once and left Noah and his family, but now warns that Adonai is going to use fire that is kept in reserve for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly people. The fact that it has not happened yet doesn't mean it won't happen. It's his patience that withholds the fire, but only for now, not forever. Patience so that others will come to faith in Yeshua, not so others can keep sinning and not see its cost. For in the end, all will see the cost of sin. Those who do not accept Yeshua will have to pay it themselves. And that payment is eternity. It's not a one-time payment. It's an eternal payment that they're causing themselves to fall into. While believers will have it paid for them by Yeshua. That's why Saul wrote to Timothy this. 1 Timothy 1:15. Trustworthy is the saying and deserving of complete acceptance. Messiah Yeshua came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. Yet for this reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Messiah Yeshua might demonstrate his complete patience as an example for those about to put their trust in him for eternal life. His patience shows the ability to accept us as sinners and cleanse us with the blood of Yeshua. We're waiting for as many as possible will accept that blood. It truly is both cleansing as well as waiting. Adonai has patience, and we are all glad for that because it's the only way that we survive. But I don't know if gaining patience really is that we just get it dumped on us all at once, or something that evolves in us, it builds up in us, develops in us over time. Does everyone have at least a small amount of it and we just need to nourish it to grow it? Or for some there's none, therefore we just need to gain it from Adonai? We get some instructions on patience in Lamentations 3, starting in verse 24. Adonai is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Adonai is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of Adonai. When I read this, I believe Shaul had this verse in mind when he wrote Romans 12:11, which expands on the same kind of instruction about patience and all things in life. Romans 12:11, starting there. Do not be lagging in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Keep serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, enduring in distress, persisting in prayer, contributing to the needs of the Keshavim, extending hospitality. Patience, according to Shaul, is that we keep doing what we should be doing. As I read this, I realized that one way to gain patience is to know what impatience is. Impatience is not rejoicing in hope, not enduring, not persisting in prayer. It's losing sight of hope. And therefore, you have no hope. It's not enduring. It's forgetting to pray. But when we do those things, being zealous, serving, rejoicing, hoping, enduring, praying, helping others, we become patient and more like what Adonai wants us to be. Being patient, we are acting like God's chosen people. And Shaul's words in Colossians are even more true. Colossians 3, starting in verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself in tender compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. If anyone has a grievance against another, just as the Lord pardoned you, so you must pardon others. He writes to clothe yourself, which is an action you decide to do. No one puts on a shirt or a blouse without making that decision. You have to make the decision which shirt to wear. Then you have to make the decision to put your arms through it and button it up. You may say, I do not have the patience to put on. But Adonai does have it for you. And it's a decision you make to accept what he has for you. And then you practice it. So as people say, we practice and pray for a greater measure of patience. What we pray for patience, what we should really be praying for is his grace and power to change us so that we can show grace to others by not being impatient towards them. We are not a finished product of Adonai. Especially if you're not patient and graceful to other people. St. Francis de Sales was a Catholic bishop in Geneva, and he said this about patience, quote, having patience with all things, but chiefly have patience with yourself. Do not lose courage by considering your own imperfections, but instantly start remedying them every day, beginning the task anew. I read this as be patient with yourself, especially about being patient with others. Adonai has a work that will be done in you. And as he does that work, there's a work that will be done through you. But we need to be patient in all things. Psalm 37 says to wait for him. 37:7. Be still before Adonai and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over one prospering in his way, over one carrying out wicked schemes. Put away anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to doing evil. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for Adonai, they will inherit the land. Patience is waiting for Adonai, even when others seem to be passing you by, even when evil seems to be getting ahead of us. We still need to be patient. If you are impatient when you see others who are moving forward, when you feel that you're, when you're not moving forward, if you can settle your spirit so as not to curse others while they're moving forward, but to bless them in your spirit, well, that's the first step of patience. That'll eventually turn into an inward prayer to Adonai that says, bless them. And that inward prayer will eventually turn into an outward prayer in words towards them. Bless you and congratulations. I'm so glad that you're moving ahead. Words of joy for them will be a blessing to them because you're patient. Patience is waiting on Adonai, just as he's patient with us. This is why it's written in Isaiah 30, verse 18. Therefore, Adonai is longing to be gracious to you. Thus he will be exalted, so he may have mercy on you. For Adonai is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. If we did not need to wait, well, there's no need to show patience. But we do many times have to wait on Adonai to do what he wants. It's not always going to be in our time. We have to show patience towards Adonai. We have to show patience towards other people, just as he's patient with us. So we resist snapping at other people. We should not expect other people to be perfect. We should assume the best of people instead of assuming the worst of them. And we should give people the benefit of the doubt. Even when we're wrong, assume the benefit of the doubt. This is how we act out our patience towards others. Patience is also faith. Faith that Adonai will do. But we need to be mindful that what we're expecting when we pray in faith. What are we expecting? We should not always be looking out for what we want, but or what we're praying for. But we should be expecting what's best for us from Adonai, which at times will be what we want, and at times it won't be what we want. It's up to him, because he knows what's best. He knows the perfect time. He knows to be patient until things line up for us. Patience is knowing that there are many times the answer to prayer is not now. Patience is not asking when, but saying your timing is perfect. And I know that you will never forget me or my prayers over time. Father, we thank you that you have shown us patience, even when we don't deserve it. Father, we just praise you and ask for you to help us. Ruach HaKodesh, help us by causing us to be patient. Help us by growing that patience within us. Help us by believing the best about others, that even those who are trying to harm us, that we would leave it in your hands and be patient to know that you will take care of it, that we're not the ones who should be going out looking to cause justice, but we will look for justice, even if it's at the very end of time. We know your justice is perfect, and that's what we will trust in. We just praise you and thank you for your patience. Thank you for growing patience in each one of us. Thank you for your word that teaches us about your patience and how to grow it within us. And everyone said, amen and amen. So we're going to